We're going to be in the book of Genesis tonight, the book of Genesis, chapter 37. And we're going to start reading in verse 5. I am thankful to Pastor for the opportunity to preach tonight. This is the second time now I've been up here. I'm just as nervous as the first time, and I feel just as unworthy to be up here. I know many of you out there taught my Sunday school classes and school classes. You probably kicked me out of Sunday school, brought me by my ear to my parents at Patch. But it is a privilege to be up here, and I'm thankful for that privilege and grateful to be up here. Genesis 37, we're going to start reading in verse 5 and read down to verse 8. This is going to kind of be the springboard for the message tonight. It says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood up round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." And we'll pray and we'll hop right into it. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to open up your word and just present this truth. I pray you be with us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. I had no idea what my brother Joseph was going to preach on Sunday night. He actually was the one who had asked me to preach this evening, him and Brother Ross. And I said, okay, well, what are you preaching on? And he said, I'm going to be preaching on the family. And he said, what are you going to be preaching on? I said, well, I got a topic that I'm going to be preaching on. And then on Sunday night, I come and he almost preaches the exact message I was going to preach. I was like, all right, there that one goes. So this might seem like a sequel to his message. And I know we don't watch movies, but maybe it's like that sequel to your favorite documentary that shouldn't have happened. But we'll see how it goes this evening. Here in the text, we see Joseph as a young man. He comes from a bit dysfunctional of a home. You say, man, Brother Dan, I come from a dysfunctional home. My guess is your home was nothing like Joseph's home. His dad had children with four different ladies, and not at different times. They were all there together. Several of his brothers were murderers. We know his sister had problems with guys. I mean, their family was a mess. But in spite of the mess, his dad's bad character early on in life, we see that God gave Joseph a dream or a vision, something he wanted him to do with his life. And we see as God gave him the dream, there at times there were people who weren't too happy with the dream that God gave him. But he continued to be faithful in spite of that. And I'm glad to be a part of a church that challenges us to dream. We could come to a message like we did on Sunday night, and they challenge us to do something with our lives, and not something for ourselves, but something for God. As a teenager and a young adult man, I was blessed to grow up with godly parents in a church like this and spiritual leaders who challenged me to dream. As a teenager, I was challenged to dream of one day getting married to a godly wife and getting married a virgin, starting a family, and loving God together. And today that dream's a reality. I'm now married. As a teenager who committed to do it right and have his wife's white wedding dress mean something on our wedding day, oftentimes it seemed like a dream that was never going to happen. There was that waiting process. You know, you're a teenager and you like girls, and it's like, man, am I ever going to get married? Now I'm not supposed to be getting too close to them or that type of thing. And then you get into college, and it's like, man, you know, which one's the right one? And we were given the dream, and the dream was not a reality. It took time for that dream to grow and for God to mature myself and my wife and our families to work together. So one day we got to the point to where we got married. Now I'm married to my best friend and partner in crime. Lord willing, we continue to impact lives and charge the kingdom of darkness here in Long Beach unless the Lord moves us somewhere else, hopefully for decades to come. We were also challenged about raising godly children. And when you're a teenager, it's like, children, I'm not even married yet. What do you mean having godly children one day? What do you mean having a godly seed? Like, what does that mean to me? But now 2 months from now, my wife's having our first child, and that dream's a little bit clearer. You know, I'm going to be able to put my hand on her stomach and feel a little kicking on the womb, going into the doctor's office and seeing the images there on the board. It's pretty exciting. I always thought people who murdered babies like Planned Parenthood were pretty evil, but I mean, it kicks it to a new level when you see the life in the womb. It's amazing. But the Lord slowly moves the dream along as we try and be faithful to him. I'm thankful that I was challenged at our church here to live for something bigger than a stack of cash, a couple extra zeros on the end of my bank statement, a flashy car, a house in an affluent neighborhood, or all the other things that this world says are important. I was challenged to be used in the service of our Lord. I like to challenge young people in our church who maybe at this point in time of your life, you're sensing God's call on your life, but maybe a carnal Christian friend, the allurements of the world, or something else is calling louder for your attention, and you're shunning that. I'd like to tell you, God hasn't shortchanged me. I've been far from perfect. I've been far from being who I should be, but I'm thankful that as I try my best to follow God, that he blesses. I stepped on the scale the other day, and I'm a pretty thin guy. I've always been a pretty thin guy, but I'm 35 pounds heavier than I was in high school. I told my wife, man, and of course, it's all solid muscle. But I've never been hungry. I've got a place to sleep. We have all of our needs met and really a lot of our wants. But I would even say if we were like many of our brethren around the globe who maybe had a little bit less, or many of the saints throughout the centuries who maybe didn't have as much as we do, it would still be worth it to serve God and follow his vision for my life or for your life tonight. And there's nothing beats pillowing your head at night with a clear conscience, knowing you're pleasing your master, knowing you're following the one who gave his life for you. Nothing beats seeing someone who is lost and hopeless, living in darkness, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Nothing beats salvaging lives and eternities altered and futures forever changed. That's a dream worth living for. We see Joseph here. He was given the dream as a young man. And you would think, okay, man, he's given the dream. He's going to be a great leader. The dream was my family's going to follow me, which if you understand the culture at that time, it was a big deal for him to look at his older siblings and his parents and say, you know, one day I'm going to be the leader. That was something that didn't fly. I know we live in a culture where being disrespectful or disobedient to your parents is acceptable, but that wasn't acceptable in his day and time. And for him to look and to present his dream and say, hey, you know, God wants me to be your leader one day, it was not very well accepted. And after God gave him his dream, it seemed like disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. But because Joseph was faithful when things didn't make sense, oftentimes the dream got foggy, we see at the end of his life, God bless him and use him in a great and mighty way. And right now, maybe God gave you a dream. Maybe you're a parent out there and the dream was like, man, one day I want to see my grandkids and grow up in Christian school and go off and serve God. And maybe right now you have a wayward child. And the you know, the heartbreak and all that goes on. So then you're like, hey, you know, God gave me this dream. Why isn't this dream a reality today? Maybe you're a Bible college student. You got called to full-time Christian service, and you failed some classes. You got behind on your payments. And you're like, hey, you know, what's going on? I thought God called me to be in full-time Christian service. How come I'm not there today? And I don't know what your dream is. Maybe your dream was, hey, I want to be a godly layman in our church. I want to go soul winning. I want to disciple people. And maybe something came in your life, and I don't know what it is today. And the dream's a little bit foggy. My dad would often call it the death of the vision. And you see many, many great men in Scripture where God gave him a vision. David, you're going to be king. And for years, he's hiding in caves. He's like an animal, right? Hiding in caves and in the forest and thickets. You know, the dream wasn't a reality today. The dream was foggy. There was a death of a vision. I think of the Apostle Paul. And, you know, he's the great apostle to the Gentiles. And he's like, man, what am I doing in this basket here, getting lowered out of the city? Oftentimes, as when God gives us a dream and a vision, it's not a reality today, but it will be one day. Parents, I would challenge you to dream for your kids. I was listening to one of my dad's sermons, as I do often. He said, it's not good enough to have your little Johnny or your little Susie sit next to you to be a decent kid. A kid who doesn't get in trouble, grows up, and is a decent citizen. Man, but get a vision for him to do something for God. We don't just want good kids. We want godly kids. I don't know who you are today or where you are, but start dreaming for yourself and for your family. You know, I talked to a lender who actually used to attend church here. He's one of a friend of my parents. And he said, one of my friend's kids, who was an adult young man, got an opportunity to go with President Trump when he was going on his election trail, and he got to serve. He would go and he would get them food. He got to travel on Air Force One. He said their family dropped everything. He said he was in college. He was almost done with his college. He dropped out of college. He said they put all their finances and resources because they wanted their kids to have an opportunity to go and to serve the president. It was for him a privilege. And I hope that we would, with our children, see the same privilege if God calls our kids to do something for him. May we never be parents, or may we never be a church who pushes our dreams and our vision above that which God has for us. Brother Oscar Torres, he drives our bus for us for teen soul winning during the school year. And him and his son were working towards a career that they had kind of talked about, and they both thought they wanted for his son. And I would, you know, as he would drive, I would talk to him and say, hey, you know, what's going on with your son's career? You know, hey, he's taking this test, and he's doing this, and he's doing that. And just before his son was about to be accepted for that career that they had, I mean, for years planned and got ready for, his son came to him and said, hey, Dad, I think God wants me to serve him full time. And then for Brother Oscar, he could have been like, hey, you know, what about all this effort and planning? You know, it would have been a job with, you know, good benefits and a nice package for you. What about that? But he immediately said, hey, if that's what God wants you to do, I support you 100%. And may we be that type of church to where if God calls one of us from among us to do something greater for him, we support that. And a couple things here today. As we're on this journey dreaming, sometimes, again, things get foggy. There's a death of the vision, as Joseph did here. But I would challenge us as dreamers, let's check ourselves in these four areas to see how we're doing when times get hard. First of all, dreamer, how is your purity? We see the life of Joseph. If you're familiar with the story, he was sold by his own brothers into slavery. He got the dream he was going to be that great leader. And I mean, what a disappointment, right? I've gotten into some scuffles with my brothers. There's five of us, so there's plenty of brothers to get into scuffles with. We were playing some basketball a couple weeks ago. I know Brother Angel was in there. He said, oh, man, some brotherly love, right? You guys are getting into it a little bit with basketball. And I've gotten into some scuffles. We've had some bad blood at times, but I couldn't imagine one of my brothers, or even worse, all of my brothers taking me and selling me into slavery. Now, that's a terrible place to be in. And we see the disappointments. We know he was sold into Potiphar's house as a slave. Like, man, I thought I was my dad's favorite. Now I'm here, sold as a slave. And we pick up the passage here in Genesis 39, verse 7. It says, it came to pass after these things, he had been sold into slavery. He was kind of a successful slave, if that's a thing. His master kind of gave him more responsibilities, kind of put him in charge of everything in the house. And in Genesis 39, verse 7, it says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. And we see here that Joseph had a big temptation. He was a slave. No doubt in his mind, man, I'm never getting married. You know, I'm never going to be able to have a family. And I'm sure this temptation that he encountered was very hard for him to push away from. I'm sure he's like, man, you know, people with power and money typically don't get an unattractive spouse, right? I'm sure Potiphar's wife was attractive, and I'm sure it kind of striked his ego a bit. Like, man, dude, this is the master's wife, and she's looking at me. And no doubt that was alluring. But he had enough fortitude. Even when the vision wasn't a reality today, even when it was a little bit foggy, even when things seemed to not make sense in his life, to stand on his convictions and live pure, even when it wasn't easy. The easiest way to disqualify us from doing something great for God is to mess up in this sense. I think of Proverbs 6:31. It says, men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy a soul when he is hungry. Man, if someone steals and they're really hungry, I mean, you don't like it. It's like, man, why'd you have to take my stuff? Why couldn't you work for it, right? But if someone's legitimately hungry, you're like, okay, you stole from me. If you get caught, you know, you're going to get punished for it, but not a huge deal. But the Bible says, but he who committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, and he knoweth not that he doeth it to the destroying of his soul. This is a big one. Pastor often says behind this pulpit, if we are going to stay right in today's society, morally, we are going to have to go to extreme lengths to do it. Man, we live in a loose society, don't we? TV, I mean, YouTube, social media, wherever you go, we live in a very loose society. I remember I was, I think I was 18 or 19, and we were flying out on a plane, I think it was to Washington for a tournament. And I remember I was sitting there on my seat, minding my own business. For some reason, I got separated from the rest of the pack. And I felt like someone's staring at me. Like, this is, you know, it's kind of weird. You know, you get that feeling like, man, someone's staring at me. And I looked up, and sure enough, there's a lady about my age, and she was staring at me. And my brother Joseph taught us, I don't know if this is okay to say right here, we didn't have a lot of money growing up, so often in the summers, my mom would take us to get free lunches at the park. And oftentimes, we were the only Caucasians at the park. And when we were there, everybody was staring, and we're like, man, this is kind of uncomfortable. You know, we just want to get our little milks and get out of here. But he said, you know, if people are staring at you, typically if you stare back at them, they look away, right? So I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to try out this method. So yeah, this person's staring at me, and When I stared at her, she didn't stare back away. And long story short, won't get into the details, but I mean, she'd never seen me before, didn't know me from Adam. And she's like, man, we want to go out. And I was like, oh, this is, you know, across the plane, you haven't even talked to me. Like, what's going on here, right? But we live in a very loose society. And if we're gonna stay right morally, we've got to work at it. I believe I'm the leader of my house. I check with my wife. I think she said that I am. I'm kidding. I'm the leader of my house. I believe I wear the pants. You know, that's my God-given role. But when it comes to my wife providing accountability with me in this area, really, there's no limits. You know, when it comes to God's direction for our family spiritually, I set that, right? When it comes to, you know, where God's going to have us and what we're going to do, and we'll pray together about it and determine it. But when it comes to my wife, if she sees something that's not okay, she has the ability to calm me down on it. Why? Because it's important that we stay clean and pure. I got my phone. She has my password. We have the same password. She's allowed on my phone anytime. And you say, man, doesn't your wife trust you? I said, yeah, she trusts me because she's allowed on there to check it, right? But it's important that that while we're seeking God and while we're pursuing the vision, that we stay clean and pure even in a world that's not. College students, maybe it's at work and there's that guy or that girl who's winking at you. Be careful. High school student, be careful who you text, who you follow, who you game with, who you're spending extra time with. We got to be careful. You know, father or husband, you're out there working hard to provide for the family. Be careful what temptations come our way. Oftentimes, people think they could play with fire and not get burnt. I remember my brother Joseph, when he was a new Sunday school teacher at our house, he had an activity over at our house on Wardlow. And everybody came over. He was like, hey, Dan, you know, you want to start a bonfire for us? We got some marshmallows for the kids. I'm thinking, I mean, I never went to Boy Scouts, but I could start a fire. And I was, you know, trying with some matches and a lighter, you know, trying to kindle a little fire, and it wasn't happening. And I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and it wasn't happening. I was like, okay. So in the shed, we've got all types of equipment with gas. Well, our gas tank was empty, but we had a hedge trimmer that had gas in it. I was like, I'll just dump a little gas in there, and we'll start it up. You know, we'll be good to go. And I went, and I poured a little bit, and just like you see on the documentaries that you watch, I poured a little gas, the fire shot up into the engine, so I've got this thing in my hand, it's on fire, I go to throw it, and it spreads gas over the whole backyard. My brother, you know, new Sunday school teacher, he's got all his people there, and we got a big fire in the backyard. I'm like, oh man. Then this thing's in my hand, I'm like, man, I gotta throw this. So I throw it, I mean, it totally disintegrates the tool there. I mean, it was a mess. You say, what was the problem there? I thought that I was going to toy and play with fire, but it wasn't going to hurt me, right? I could take the risk, but I'm not going to have to suffer the consequences. And many of us are like that morally, are we not? You know, I'll flirt a little bit, I'll text, you know, but I'm not going to push it too far, right? I'll go just to the limits, but it doesn't work that way. We've got to guard our hearts. Next here, not only as dreamers do we have to protect our purity, but second, we have... As a dreamer, how's your passion for God even in the hard times? Genesis 39:21 says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And if you follow Joseph's life, we see that, man, when Joseph was with his father, he had the favor of the Lord, right? When Joseph was with in Potiphar's house, it says the Lord was with him, made everything he did to prosper. We see Joseph was in prison. The Lord gave him favor with the captain of the guard. When he stood before Pharaoh, the Lord gave him favor, right? Over and over and over again, regardless of where Joseph was in life, he could have been a slave, he could have been in prison. Regardless of where Joseph was, he still stayed right in his life. Joseph's dream was far out of sight, but he never let the one who gave him the dream get distant. And maybe you're a parent tonight with a wayward child, someone who you wish would come back to God, and make it to where if your kids want to come back, they have a place to come back to. Maybe you've invested in people and you've discipled people here at our church, and you're like, man, they're not here tonight. You know, I wish they were here sitting next to me. Well, now's not the time to get distant from God and to ruin our relationship with God to where they don't have a place to come back to. They don't have someone to help them when they come back. How is our walk with God today? How's our passion and relationship with God? Keeping right with God during difficult times is important, again, so people have somewhere to come back to. And I'd also mention this, if you're going through a hard time in your life, stay in church. I could not imagine going through what my family went through with my dad's injury and everything, and not having our church family to be there with us. Man, I don't know how many times people come you know, pat you on the back. Man, I'm praying for you. You know, bringing meals and encouragement, coming in here and preaching just what we needed. If you're going through a hard time, stay in church. The worst time to get out of church is when you're going through a trial, you're going through a hard time in your life, and just things just go from bad to worse. So, dreamer, when things are foggy, when things aren't going just how you thought it would go, stay passionate for God, stay serving Him, and stay in church. Next we see here, for the dreamers, how is our perspective of hurts? Are we bitter? We look to Genesis 45, verse 5. This is Joseph's brothers had come back. The famine was in the land. Joseph was already out of prison. He interpreted Pharaoh's dream. They prepared for the famine that was coming. And now we see Joseph seeing his brothers for the first time after years. He had a little brother who he'd never seen grow up. His parents had gotten old. He wasn't there to be there with them. No doubt a lot of emotions. No doubt he was thinking, man, what if my brothers never sold me into slavery? You know, what if I got to be at home with the family? What if, right? And we see here in the passage as we read, quickly here. Genesis 45:5 says, "Now therefore be not grieved," this is Joseph speaking with his brothers, "nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life." And we see rather than getting bitter during the hard times, Joseph had a forgiving heart. And no doubt all of us in this room have had hurts at one time in our life or another. Some of us, no doubt, on greater levels than other ones of us. Maybe it was someone who stabbed you in the back. Maybe it was a spouse who left. Maybe it was, a wayward child. Maybe it was someone who, you know, promised something to you and you never got it. There was disappointments, whatever it may be. Maybe you thought God was going to, you know, in your mind, pull through on something that you felt that He didn't pull through on. I don't know what your hurt is today, but if we're going to continue and be faithful and be who God wants us to be and make the impact for eternity that He wants us to make, we can't allow ourselves to be bitter. Don't be like a Ruth who left during a hard time. Their family was in a famine, right? She left in a hard time. She was a Naomi. And she came back out of the hard time bitter. She said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, for the Lord's dealt bitterly with me. Don't come out of a trial or a hard time bitter, because it only hurts yourself and those who God has called you to serve. If the dreamer gets bitter during these times of the death of the vision, they never get the joy of the happy ending that God has for them. Have you gotten bitter at God or someone who has hurt you, and now you're sour and bitter? Man, bring it to God this evening and get it right. Bitterness is no way to live a life. And then lastly here, as dreamers, how proactive are we at serving others, even in the hard time? Say, Dan, shouldn't it be that when you're going through a hard time, people serve you? And that's what the church is for, right? We help each other during hard times. We come alongside. But there's no better time to help those around us than when we're hurting ourselves, because we live in a hurting world, right? We see in Genesis 40, verse 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them. This is talking about the men who are in prison with Joseph. And each man dreamed his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And we see here Joseph in prison is coming and kind of ministering to people. Say, hey, you know, what's going on? I see you're sad today. How can I help you out? And they're like, man, you know, we had these dreams. We have no idea what they meant. And Joseph ministered even in the hard times. I don't know how many times in my life that hurt that God has allowed to have has given me an avenue to help other people. I remember my dad had his brain injury. We were up on the 7th floor in Memorial Hospital. That was the neuro ICU. And we had a bus girl a couple years back. She actually moved out of country. And she said, hey, you know, could you pray for my mom? She's having a surgery. It was just a routine surgery. She said, could you pray for her? She's going to have surgery here in a couple days. And she said it was like on a Friday or something. And on Wednesday, she called and she said, hey, Brother Dan, do you think you could go to the hospital? My mom's having surgery. I was like, I thought she said it was on Friday, but I'll swing by. I don't mind. I said, you know, what's the room that she's in? What floor is she in and whatnot? She said, oh, she's on the, you know, at the hospital is a little different. She said, on the 8th floor or so. And I went up and I was like, 8th floor? As I was looking on the chart, it says neuro ICU. I said, this is not a routine surgery. And I went up there and her dad actually had, or her mom had the exact same head injury as my dad had. And she was able to continue coming to the Christian school and continue coming to church, but we were able to help in a little bit more personal way, and her stepdad at the time, to be able to help them through. Why? Because God allowed hurt in my life. There were times in my life where, you know, I didn't know what it was like to maybe live in a single-parent home. You know, I had a godly dad and a godly mom. We had a textbook family, if you will. But as, you know, my dad got sick, it was a little bit different. You know, sometimes there's insecurities that come along with that. And there were people that I was able to help, and I was able to say, okay, I see why you're going through what you're going through because of hurts that God's allowed in my life. And when God brings hurt into our life, rather than using it and flipping it and getting bitter, why don't we use it to help somebody else who's in that same type of situation? And we'll close with this. Joseph saved the world, his family, and the chosen seed who eventually Jesus Christ came out of that seed. Because even when the dream was foggy, even when things got tough and it seemed like the dream was on pause, he didn't drop his morals or his character. He continued faithful to God, and he was able to impact the known world because of it. And I'll challenge you for today. I don't know what the dream is. It's going to be different for each and every one of us. But when times get tough, let's not give up on the vision that God's given us to make an impact for him in eternity. Let's stay faithful. Let's stay clean even through those times. And we'll pray. Father, do thank you for your goodness in our life. Thank you for the example of Joseph here in your word and his faithfulness to you in spite of hard times that came in his life. I pray that like him, we would stay clean and moral and faithful to you during hard times in our life. I pray you be with our church family. Pray you bring us back safely to church on Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.